But I didn't really want to do a series, and last week we talked about how to meditate the Word. And I hope that you got something out of that, and I hope you got something out of that that you can use. I know some of you contacted me and said certain things to me about, so I know that you've done that. Some of you have done that. If you've not started meditating in the Word, you need to do that. It pays such great dividends. In fact, what we're going to talk about today plays right into that. Today we're going to talk about the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. This is one of my favorite oldies. You know, really, any Bible lesson is an oldie, isn't it? Because the Bible's really old. But it's still really, really relevant, isn't it? So I'm going to read our text, and then we're going to come back and we're going to look at some things here. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now, the setting of this happens when a man by the name of Jairus, J-A-R-I-U-S, Jairus, who was a leader of the synagogue, who was a Jewish guy who was high up in the synagogue. He comes to Jesus and he says, Master, he says, my daughter is sick. And she's near death. Would you come and heal her? And Jesus immediately takes off and starts towards Jairus' house. And it's kind of interesting because it was the Jewish leadership that was against Jesus, but all of a sudden his daughter is sick. And you know, there's something amazing. A lot of times we're resistant about certain things until we get into a dire circumstance, and it's amazing how honest we get about certain things when we're faced with a dire circumstance. And he dropped all of his religious resistance, and he's wanting his daughter to be well. So he goes to Jesus. He'd heard about Jesus, what Jesus did, how Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so Jesus starts towards Jairus' house. In the middle of this journey, this is where we're going to begin in verse 25. Now a certain woman. Let me ask you a question. Is this a parable? No. You know why? Because it says a certain woman. If I said, there's a certain guy in our church today that is blah, 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 would you think that I was talking about a fictitious character? If I said there was a certain guy here and described his circumstance, it would be talking about somebody that's here. So this says that there was a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. This was not a minor ailment. This was something that had been in her life for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She's gone to every doctor in town. She's tried everything that she knew to do within her power to get well. She had spent all that she had. Evidently, how many of you know if you go to several doctors, you better have some money or some good insurance? Isn't that true? Are y'all there? Okay. Hey, it helps. It helps when you help. Okay? So if you don't have insurance, and they didn't have insurance in those days, you better have some Gitas Cletus, because those doctors are not cheap. So she had spent all that she had, but rather grew worse. What I want you to see here is that this woman was in a hopeless situation. She had a chronic illness, maybe even a fatal illness. This had been going on 12 years. She was slowly dying. She was not getting better. She was not staying the same. Sometimes with chronic illness, you kind of stay the same, but she wasn't getting better. She was getting worse. Spent all of her money, and she was getting worse. A hopeless situation. You know, there's a lot of people today that are in hopeless situations. And this is why I wanted to do this lesson today, because I want you to know that there is hope in hopeless situations. There is never a situation where we cannot have hope. I always hate it when a doctor tells somebody, hey, there's no hope. Well, there may not be any medical hope. There may not be anything that medicine can do for you. But listen, there's still God. There's still God. We want people to have hope. So here was a lady who had exhausted every avenue she had to get better, and she was getting worse every day. It looked hopeless. It looked hopeless. And then it kind of changes here. When she had heard about Jesus, I like this. She did what? She heard. See, we want to kind of talk about, what do you do when things look hopeless? What do you do if your marriage looks hopeless? What do you do if your finances look hopeless? What do you do if your physical condition looks hopeless? What do you do when you're in a situation where there doesn't look like there's any way out? Is there a way out? And what can we do to start walking toward our solution? That's what we want to talk about today. Because I don't believe there is a hopeless situation. I think there's always a way that God has provided for us, no matter what the circumstance. We just got to know how to go in that direction. But the first thing that she did, she said she heard about Jesus. So let me ask you a question. What do you think that she heard about Jesus? Now, she probably didn't hear about the Jesus that a lot of churches preach about today. Well, sometimes God will hear your prayer, and sometimes God won't hear your prayers. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's the kind of Jesus that she heard about. She heard about the testimonies. See, listen, testimonies are powerful. Testimonies are powerful. We do testimonies in this church. We bring people in who share testimonies. We do it on Sunday mornings. We do it a lot on Friday nights, that people are sharing testimonies. Why? Because testimonies can help people find their way. When somebody has been through a divorce and they have recovered, a testimony can help somebody who's in that struggle. See, we need to be looking for ways that we can help people in their struggles. That's why I tell you all the time that your story is so important. We are all unique. We've had different experiences. We've gone through different things. And every one of us has something that we can share with someone else. And she heard about Jesus. She had never met him, but she had heard the stories. She had heard the stories. You say, well, didn't she read the Scripture? Hey, there was no New Testament at that time. It was being lived out later to be written. Now, Jesus, the truth of Jesus was hidden in the Old Testament. But guess what? The religious people of that day did everything they could to keep that hidden, because they did not want people to turn to Jesus. So guess what there was? I'm not saying this. This is good. There was the stories. There were the stories. How that Jesus had raised people even from the dead. How that Jesus touched his mother-in-law and she was healed. How that Jesus brought deliverance to people who were tormented with demonic power. She heard the stories. And listen, part, and this is why it's so critical. Part of what our journey is about, it's about hearing the right things. About hearing the right things. Let me give you some good advice. Be careful what you listen to. Read your Bible, but be careful what you listen to. Do you know there's a lot of confusion out there? You know, there's a lot of negative stuff out there in the name of the Lord. There's a lot of bad teaching out there. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful who you're hanging out with. You know, I've had people say, well, you know, we used to go to Believers, but you know, it was kind of a drive for us, so we found this little church close to our house, and we just kind of go there. Well, what do they teach? What are you going to hear? That's the important thing. There's some churches I'm not hanging out in. You say, well, boy, that's awful. That's judgmental. It's important what we hear. It's important what we hear. I'm looking. If I would have told Paige that God killed her boy, what do you think that would have done to her? It's quiet. We had a situation years ago. This is a long time ago. My boys were, well, in fact, Kevin was 8. And I remember this strictly because the little boy involved in this was 8 years old. This was back before the racing track. There was a trailer out there. There was a pond out there. And this little boy drowned in that pond. You probably remember that. I got called in. Had to go to the hospital. I'll tell you what, it'll shake a daddy up who has an 8-year-old son that sees another 8-year-old kid blue and dead on a slab. It'll slap you in the face. The mother came to our church some, and she went to another church down the road that's no longer going, thank God. Let that sink in a minute. The daddy was away from God. The preacher of the other church got a hold of that daddy and says, God took your son because you wouldn't serve him. Now, what do you think it did to that daddy? You think that drew him closer to God? No, it did not. As far as I know, he never stepped foot in a church again. Hey, it's important what you listen to. It's important what you read. It's important who you listen to. If you listen to TV preachers and radio preachers or other ministers, it's important what you're hearing, because what you hear determines where you're going to go. It determines your journey, whether you're going to go towards faith or you're going to be in confusion. And this woman heard of Jesus. She heard. Maybe if I said, this woman heard of Jesus. I said, I'll do that again. Okay. She heard of Jesus. What did she hear? She heard the testimonies. She heard the stories. And can I tell you, today we have those testimonies and those stories written in our Bible that we can look at them and we can read those stories and we can, those stories can help our faith. Romans 10:17 says what? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me give you a verse. And most of you know this. I've preached it hundreds of times. But this is one of the greatest verses of the New Testament. John 10:10. Jesus said this. So it's written in red. So it's important. The thief comes not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and life abundantly. If it kills, steals, and destroys, where does it come from? It comes from the enemy. If it's life and life more abundantly, it comes from the Lord. Okay? It's important what you listen to. It's important what you hear. Have I made my point? When she heard about Jesus, here's the next one. She came. She did something. She had to go home. Now, this is all in order to do what she did. You know that? That said, along with a leading sinner, so she was to be in public. She doing going against the written law. This was a woman, wasn't it? She came. It says she came behind him in the crowd and touched. She did two things that she wasn't supposed to do. Number one, she came. Number two, she touched. She did what? She came and she touched. She touched his garment. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now how could she say that? How could she say that? How did she know? Because she had heard. She had heard concerning Jesus. In fact, the Amplified Bible, the classic Amplified Bible, says she continued to say. She didn't just say it once. She continued to say. So let's see this journey, because there was a struggle going on inside of her. Listen, when you're on your journey of faith, there is a struggle, because you're in hopelessness and you hear about Jesus and you struggle. Everything that I have done has failed. How do I know that this will succeed? So the struggle that goes on. She heard, she came, she continued to say. What was she doing? What was she doing? She was continuing to say, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. If I but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If I but touch his clothes, she continued to say, if I'm just touch his clothes, I shall be. She was changing her hopelessness into hope. See, there is this mental thing that goes on in our minds that struggles. It's called doubt. Has anybody ever doubted? It's okay to doubt. Just don't stay in doubt. God has done something that we can change our doubts into word. How do we do that? We read it, we meditate on it, and we say what God says. Okay? That's why it's so important. Remember, part of meditation is to mutter, to speak. It's okay to speak God's Word. Now, don't go around in public doing that. They'll think you're stupid. They'll think you're demented. Do this in private. Do this as you're doing your prayer time and your study time. Lord, your Word says, God, I thank you that your Word says today that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, you will condemn. Thank you today, Lord, I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I thank you today, I've given. Therefore shall be given unto me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto my bosom. You're not trying to talk God into something. When you speak His Word, you're dealing with your own heart. You're establishing your own heart. Now make sure that you're speaking the Word. You can't have just anything you say. You can't do that. You just can't have whatever you say, but listen, you can have what you say. It's part of the process. It's hearing the right things, it's acting upon it, it's meditation and proclaiming the Word of God in your life. We need to be proclaimers of the Word of God in our own heart. Whatever your hopeless situation is today, maybe you're struggling with your marriage, listen, don't give up. Whatever your struggle is, don't give up. Find out what God says. Make a step. Begin to say, Lord, your word says. You're not doing that for anybody's benefit but your own. It says she came behind and touched his clothes. She said, if I may, but those I know. Immediately, the fountain of her blood dropped, and she felt her body, that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately, when did Jesus know that something was going on? When she touched. Jesus wasn't thinking about her. Jesus was to heal her. Jesus did, listen to this, he did not initiate. I'd say, well, no, if I can, sometimes we must do something. To us to make a point of contact of faith towards Him. And He's willing and able to help us and to meet our need and to give us the wisdom that we need when we're in this hopeless situation. Listen, faith is about hearing, doing, saying. I'm just talking formula. This is because what you're doing, you have to doubt in your own heart. So Jesus says, who touched me? But his disciples, him, you see the multitude among you, and you say, who touched me? There's a whole bunch of people touched Jesus. A whole bunch of people touched Jesus that day. There was something about her touch was the difference. There were people who were there about Jesus, and they were out of curiosity, and they wanted to touch a superstar. Guess what they got? Nothing. There were people who were desperate. And they touched Jesus. What did they get? They had a need. Evidently, God just doesn't respond. Now, He did. He sent Jesus. Because we had a great need. But what did He respond? What touch did He respond to? The touch of faith. The touch of faith. And it's interesting. And we're going to go back and look at something here in just a sec. But he said to this woman, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. He didn't say it was his power. Because you know, in one translation it says that Jesus knew that someone had made a demand on his ability. When did he know that a demand had been made on his ability? At the point of the touch. He did not know it until the point of the touch. That's interesting. Because a lot of times we're letting God do something for us. And I think many, He is waiting on us to come in faith. Let him. His daughter, your faith, go in shalom and be healed of your affliction. In Matthew 9:20, says, a whole woman who had suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. See, one place says him, this says fringe. And what this is a reference to, that Greek word means fringe or tassel. So it wasn't, I got him up here. She come up any place on my hem. That's not what it's talking about. It was about a tassel. What this was the prayer shawl. It's in the Hebrew called the litut. On the four corners of this prayer shawl, there were tassels. And it's kind of interesting because these are made of 8 strands of string, one longer than the other. And what they do is they tie a certain way. They do 2 knots of 2 knots together. 10. Okay. There's more than that, but
But they do two knots, and then they wrap it seven times. They do two knots and wrap it eight times. And they do it a double knot 11 times. And they do a double knot, and they wrap it 13 times. And then they do a double knot. And what hung on their those tassels hung on the four corners of their garment. And it's interesting because this is called the zitzit. Can you say that with me? Zitzit. So what does that have to do with anything? It has a lot to do with things. In Hebrew, they call it the gematria, that they assign numbers to the Hebrew letters. And the Hebrew letters that make up the word zitzit comes to 613 numerically. In the law of Moses, there are 613 commandments. So what did this tassel have to do with? It had to do with the commandments. Now, Numbers. Let me read Numbers chapter 15 and verse 38. This is Old Testament. Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corner of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. This blue thread, blue in Scripture, represents the heavenly nature. The heavenly nature. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them, and that you may not follow harlotry to which your own heart are inclined. Do my commandments and be holy before God. And they were to remember and to keep the 613 commandments daily. Guess what? They couldn't do it. So they come up with this theory. Said, well, all together as a nation, we can keep 613. Guess what? They couldn't do it. And the Jews understood that this was also prophetic of a time when an Israelite would come who would fulfill the 613 commandments. What did that little woman understand? See, she was Jewish. She understood about the tassels. You notice that she didn't touch the hem of her garment? Why? Because she had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who did she touch? She touched the tassels, the ribbon of blue, of the heavenly nature, of the one that had been prophesied about. And when she did, guess what? She was made whole. She knew that she was coming to the Messiah. She came properly. She came knowing and understanding what she was doing. It was not just a helter-skelter. Oh yeah, here's what I decide. If I'll do this, I'll do... No. We need to approach God His way. And His way is through the Messiah. See the prophecy. Let me read you the prophecy. But to you who fear my name, this is in Malachi 4:2, the Son, S-U-N, not S-O-N, the S-U-N. What does sun give off? What? Light? Heat? What did it say about Jesus? And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. The Son of what? Righteousness. What did Jesus walk in? He walked in righteousness. Shall arise with healing in His wings. You know when the Jews spreads the tallit, the prayer cloth. You know what that's called there? Wings. That's called wings. He shall arise with healing in His wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like the stall-fed calves. That is prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a picture of Him in His prayer shawl with His tassels, and he is the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. And this little lady with the issue of blood, when she realized who he was, she began to say, "If I can touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And she grabbed hold of that tassel. The miracle was done. Are you with me today? Okay. That's pretty amazing. It wasn't just a random thing. It was, she understood what she was doing. She came to understand what she was doing. And that's why it's so important that we need to come to understand why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe. We need to know that. We need to pursue that. We need to hear the right things. We need to make the right steps. We need to step towards God. She came. And then we need to grab hold of the righteousness of God. It's not our righteousness. Don't grab your tassel. Your tassel, it's messed up. Grab his. Because there's what? There's healing in his wings. Amen. Whew. I like this stuff. It's good. Prayer team, would you come? Worship team is coming. We're going to worship one more time. I want you to worship today the Son of Righteousness. Can we do that today? Stand with me. If you're here today and you need prayer, man, if you need to make Jesus Lord, don't let anything keep you from doing that today. If you need to ask Jesus to forgive you, come in your life, to make you new. But listen, and I feel this pretty strong. There's somebody here that you're in a hopeless situation today. You're in a hopeless situation today. You need to come. You need to approach. And let's start this process of walking toward the Lord. Let God be your solution today. If that's you, I want you to come as we worship.